Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across the board from me, Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
Tonight, we're going to explore something different, Tim. Interdimensional universes.
Yes.
How do you like that?
I like it.
A little different?
Why not?
Not just ghosts,
yeah.
UFOs. We're going to talk about different things. And our guest tonight is Philip Imbrogno. He's researched UFOs, other paranormal phenomena for over 30 years. He's recognized as an authority in the field, and he's been interviewed by the New York Times. He's appeared on NBC's Today Show, the Oprah Winfrey Show, and has been featured in documentaries on the History Channel, A&E, Lifetime, and HBO. And Imbrogno also worked closely with many top UFO investigators, including Dr. J. Allen Hynek and Bud Hopkins. Tonight, we're going to discuss his new book, Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. Using the latest quantum theories, UFO researcher Philip Imbrogno sheds new light on classic UFO cases, government cover-ups, and the hidden connections between UFOs and other unexplained phenomena, from crop circles and animal mutilations to angels and the djinn, or genies. So welcome, for the first time, to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Philip Imbrogno. Thank you very much for joining us tonight, Philip.
Thank you for inviting me today.
It's great to have you here. This is a book, when I saw the cover just alone on it and read what it was about, I was interested in having you as a guest. Wanted to find out more about this, and then to read your very impressive pedigree of the things that you've done and who you've worked with and the amount of time that you've spent researching this, even whetted my appetite more for this information and knowledge. How did you get involved in researching this type of thing? Did you have experiences yourself?
Well, not initially. My background, is I've always been interested in astronomy, so the idea that extraterrestrials are out there visiting us has fascinated me, and so I got interested in the UFO phenomena initially, and my interest in astronomy has actually keyed that to investigating UFOs, and the fact is that while investigating UFOs, I was faced with so many other different types of phenomena that they really didn't fit into the normal UFO sighting, they actually dealt with something else. And for a long time, many people who are so-called UFO investigators kind of shy away from cases that involve what we call high strangeness. That is something more than a UFO sighting, something quite extraordinary, something out of the ordinary UFO sighting, if you can call UFO sightings ordinary. So, my interest in this basically was from a scientific point of view, but then I realized science has very little to do with all of this. And people would say often, are you approaching this in a scientific method? Because, being a scientist myself, being a science educator for the last 27 years, and having degrees in science and chemistry and astronomy, my colleagues would say to me, you publish papers on paranormal phenomenon and UFOs, and you write books, and you do lectures and so on. Are you approaching this in a scientific manner? And I laugh and I say, what we're dealing with is a new era of science. And we're dealing with forces of the universe that our instruments can't detect. The scientific method was invented for observing physical phenomena, yet the scientific method breaks down when you study the paranormal. A new method has to be devised to explore this new world, this new science of what I call the new science of the late 21st century.
Well, you know, that begs a really good question. You know, how does one really investigate a UFO report? I mean, when it's most of it, it's just personal experiences. How do we, how does the scientific community and how do we as laymen actually investigate a report that would yield any kind of workable information?
Yes, you have to remember that the U in UFO stands for unidentified.
Right.
And, of course, there are many people out there from many different groups and many organizations that think they know the secret of what UFOs are. But, you know, they really don't have an understanding of what's going on. A lot of their prenotions when they investigate, they already have their mind made up of what they're looking for. They lose their objectivity when investigating UFO reports. Now, UFO researchers, investigators, don't investigate UFOs. We investigate UFO reports.
Right.
So, you know, so that's the difference right there. And the thing is that the bottom line is that credible people are reporting encounters with something truly incredible, and it seems to be increasing. And for many years, I was kind of like dismayed about UFO reports in my early days of paranormal research and UFO reports, that many of the reports that came to my attention, I felt, had a logical explanation. Until an outbreak of UFO activity occurred in New York State between 1983 and 1989, which is documented in another book I wrote called Night Siege, the Hudson Valley UFO Sightings. This is a case where thousands of credible people over a period of a couple of years, and then one particular night, over 4,000 people saw this object, which they reported to be the size of a football field. And you have witnesses that are miles apart seeing the same thing and reporting the same thing. And these are people, by the way, who never thought about UFOs. They were just driving home. The object was so massive and so startling in the sky that all of these people just pulled over their cars to the side of the road and got out and just looked at it. And one IBM executive said, you know, he said he doesn't want to hear anything about balloons or blimps or swamp gas. He said this was a city in the sky. These are credible people reporting something truly incredible.
Now, you mentioned that it was about the size of a football field. Did they say how tall this was?
Well, it wasn't that thick in diameter. It wasn't that thick in width, in height, rather. But it was very, very large. I imagine most reports indicate that this was a very, very large object, and it was deep enough to hold, let's say, a 20-foot, a 30-foot building or something like that.
But the reason I ask about that is there was that report from Illinois where the four or five police jurisdictions were following and tracking something like this that looked, they referred to it as about the size of a football field, and they said it looked like a building moving through the sky. Have you heard of that account, and is there any kind of correlation between that and what happened in the Hudson Valley or Hudson River Valley encounters?
Well, there is. There is. You see, people were reporting a massive object that was well lit in the night sky, blocking out the entire sky. It was pursued by police officers. It was tracked on radar at the Westchester County Airport, and it was reported and documented and confirmed hovering above the Indian Point nuclear reactor in Buchanan, New York, on the same night it was videotaped. Now, it was witnessed there by 12 New York State Power Authority police officers who were well-trained, and it hovered above reactor number 3 for 20 minutes, and the entire security of the area of the reactor shut down. Now, the interesting thing is that people were watching it, of course, you know, from the nearby towns as it was over the reactor. The officers who saw it, to this day, claim it was something not from this world. And the plan itself, the spokesman, Mr. Carl Patrick, made a statement to the newspaper in 1984 and confirmed that they had a sighting of a UFO over the reactor. He says, but in no way was the plant, operations of the plant interrupted. This is really the first time that a UFO was actually confirmed, 100% confirmed, being over a reactor complex. And by the way, on that same night, the UFO was videotaped in Brewster, New York, as it headed out to the reactor area. And that tape was analyzed by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. And this is the most anti-UFO, most anti-paranormal agency in the world. And they looked at that videotape, and they could not identify it. You see, we wanted to know, did the lights in the videotape represent one rigid object, one solid object, or individual objects? And their conclusions were that it was one rigid object that they could not identify.
Now, is there a place for any of us out in the field that can see that video or portions of it?
Actually, I have a copy. And as a matter of fact, I think a portion of it was on NBC Dateline when I did the NBC Dateline show with the top 10 UFO cases. And I believe that much of the footage is on YouTube somewhere right now.
What would be keywords you think we could look up for the...
Probably Hudson Valley UFO or my name.
Okay, Hudson Valley UFO.
Probably.
And maybe what we'll do is we'll have one of our webmasters here look that up while we're doing the show to see if we can add video to the site and show that as well.
Because it appeared on NBC Dateline in April of this year. So it's actually one of the first nighttime UFO images on video that has gone completely unidentified and was looked at by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And JPL, if people don't know who JPL is, they do all the imaging for our space program. They run the space program for the missions to Mars and Jupiter and Saturn and so on. So these are like hardcore scientists who demand that evidence be undeniable. And extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. That's their philosophy. Yet they could not identify the lights on the video.
Unbelievable. For folks, if you want to tune in, check out our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the upcoming show tab. There you'll see the picture of Phil Imbrogno and his book, and we'll also have a video there for the Hudson Valley UFO footage that we can find online. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back more. Our guest this evening for the first hour here is Philip Imbrogno, and he is the author of Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. We'll be back with more right after this. With the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Philip Imbrogno. He is the author of a book, Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the different video footage and some of the different cases that he has studied. Now, you also had the chance to work with the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek. For our listeners that may not be familiar with Dr. Hynek, can you give a background on Dr. Hynek as well?
Dr. Hynek was chairman of the astronomy department at Northwestern University, and he was probably one of the top scientists in this country. He worked on the Apollo program for the lunar landing, finding an appropriate landing site for Apollo 11, and he actually developed the triggering device for the atomic bomb, something he regretted for the rest of his life. Also, from 1952 all the way until 1969, he was the scientific consultant for Project Blue Book, which was the Air Force's UFO investigation project. And after Project Blue Book closed down, he was so convinced of the reality of the UFO experience, as he called it, that he started the Center for UFO Studies, which was a civilian organization composed of scientists and various people from various fields who were acting as a collection point and an investigation team to investigate UFO reports more thoroughly and more objectively than the United States Air Force did.
And And his research really kind of helped to start open up the public to this information. Didn't he have some kind of contractual obligation with the government to not talk about what he saw with Project Blue Book?
Well, he did. He was told that his job is to explain away all the sightings. And that's basically what he did. He said that the reason why he got the job as the Air Force consultant to Project Blue Book is that because nobody else wanted the job. Hmm. So he took it. He figured, you know, it might be nice for a number of years to go around, you know, with an official title and you know, get all your, you know, visit all these places across the country. And he thought that UFOs at the time was just a fad, like the hula hoop. And he said that he was sure that it would just fade away in time. But he said that as he got into it, he began to listen to these people and the reports, he was saying to himself, how long could he call these people crazy?
Right.
And he said that, you know, the UFO experience is very real, and it's a multifaceted phenomena, and most people think that, you know, the astronomer or, you know, the scientist is responsible for investigating these reports, but that's not the case. The UFO phenomena is very complex, and it encompasses a wide range of paranormal phenomena.
I'm curious, too. There's, like, this huge rise, it appears, in public interest in UFOs right now, and more sightings. Do you think that's just because media coverage is so much more prevalent and we can, you know, everybody can podcast and webcast and stream things online? Do you think that's what's bringing it out more to the forefront?
That may be. You know, in 1983, UFOs was taboo.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard to get a UFO book published. It was very hard for the news media to carry, they wouldn't carry UFO stories. Had the Hudson Valley UFO sightings occurred today, with the rise in the interest and the increase in the media coverage, it would probably be some type of phenomena like the day the Earth stood still with Klaatu landing. My gosh, you know, people thought it was an invasion out here. But what's happening now is that UFO sightings are increasing and paranormal phenomena across the board is increasing. And I believe, you know, usually when the media starts producing movies and it starts producing a lot of stories in the newspapers and TV and so on, the public gets interested and they start reporting things, everything from Venus to Jupiter to satellites as UFOs. This happened in the past during the 50s. However, UFOs completely died out in the late 70s and 80s. But all of a sudden, people started seeing them again, and they were looking for answers. So this time, the great interest in UFOs that has taken place, not only in the media, but in the public mind, has come from people having experiences and the experience is increasing in number. So it's reversed from what it was in the 50s.
What do you think is the purpose behind all these UFO visits now, and are there different classifications? I know we've all heard of close encounters of the third kind, but what are the real classifications for these type of UFO visits?
You know, the UFO phenomena cannot be explained by one particular thing. As Dr. Hynek said, he said he would be very disappointed if UFOs all of the UFO sightings turned out to be nothing more than somebody else's spaceships from another world. He said he believed that the answer was more exotic than that. You know, Dr. Hynek back in the 60s developed a classification system, which is in still use today. But it kind of breaks down now because the sightings are becoming more like contact cases. And the first classification is the nocturnal light. This is just a light seen in the sky. And it's a vague light. It may do fantastic maneuvers and so on. The second classification is the daylight disk. This is an object seen in the daytime, a disk-like object or, you know, a dark triangular-shaped object, but something seen in the daytime at high altitude. Then the third classification is the radar visual, something that's seen visually and tracked on radar. Now, the next three classifications that Dr. Hynek composed are the most interesting. Close encounters of the first kind means seeing an object, a UFO, within about 200, 300 feet. This is a close encounter, whether it's up in the air or on the ground. A close encounter of the second kind is when this object leaves some type of physical trace, residue on the ground, it leaves holes in the ground, it also burns animals, burns trees, burns vegetation. We even have reports of it burning people. And a close encounter of the third kind is as far as Dr. Hynek went. That's when this object is on the ground, obviously some type of vehicle, and some type of entity or being or creature is seen alongside and is associated with the UFO. Now, recently, researchers have added to that system. Dr. Hynek would never go further than
okay.
that. We have a close encounter of the fourth kind. These are reports of people who claim to be abducted by an alien intelligence. And finally, close encounters of the fifth and sixth kind that involve not only the abduction, but continued psychic or telepathic or visual contact with an intelligence or entity that doesn't seem to be part of our reality.
Now, we have about 2 minutes before we have to take another break here, but do you think that all the claims these people have of seeing aliens and being abducted, do you believe that there's some validity and reality to that?
You know, yes, I do. However, I do not believe that all the cases are real, but I do believe that a percentage of them, especially the ones that I've investigated, are very, very real, and people are in contact. Some people are in contact with something more than their own imaginations.
How do you know the difference?
You know what? After a while, you begin to see the pattern. Usually,
I know, like a police report, when there's a murder, they'll let out certain information. They hold back a few things. Is that kind of the way it is with UFO investigations too? You've got the basic of it, but do you hold back that you know that there's always this little burned brand mark in on the abductees that you're able to locate, but you don't mention that outright. So if somebody calls and claims to have that, that helps you. Hey, this might be more legitimate.
Well, it does, especially if the person doesn't not looking for publicity. The person is terrified. The person had no interest in UFOs in the past.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of these people also have had experiences as children and continue to have them as adults. And there are a lot of the things, for example, that we can ask questions, loaded questions. How tall were the entities that you saw? If they say 5'6", you know, what you do? Measure them? But if they say, oh, I think they were just below my chin, you know? And
right.
Plus, we work with certified psychologist, because when you're dealing with abductions, you're not dealing with a physical phenomena, you're dealing with a psychological phenomena.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that. When we come back from the break, I want to explore that a little bit more from you. So stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Our guest this evening is Philip Imbrogno. His book is Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're here with you every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. If you miss any part of our episodes and want to catch up, all you have to do is go click on the podcast section for Darkness Radio. You can find all of our past shows going back to August 24th, and you'll be able to listen and share in with all these shows. Or you can go back to darknessradio.com, click on the archive section, and you'll be able to hear the 2.5 years prior to that available on our website. So check out both sites so that you can catch up. If you missed any part of tonight's show, shame on you. Our guest is Philip Imbrogno. He's the author of Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. Before we went to the break, Phil, we were talking about some of the questions and psychologists that use to break the situation down. How do we know the difference? I mean, right now it's been supplanted in people's heads with, you know, books by Whitley Strieber, by, movies by Steven Spielberg. We all know what they're supposed to look like. We all know the stories of how the abduction scenario seems to be, and that we're in our beds and we're suddenly floating through the window and we appear on the ship and it's a sterile white environment and grays come in and they don't talk, their mouths don't move, but we can hear their thoughts and they converse with us and then they test us and anal probe or take blood or something like that. How do we know that it's not just a really vividly imaginative experience that these people are having, or in a dream form that they're just superimposing it into reality?
Well, you know, you don't know 100% for sure, ever. And so what you have to do is you have to interview the witness very, very carefully. Now, obviously, you see, the question has to be asked. Did they have a UFO sighting or paranormal experience before this abduction or contact experience? If they did, was the contact experience a result of the paranormal experience or the UFO sightings? Did the UFO sightings trigger an imaginary abduction experience? You see, there are many, many people who are vividly into UFOs.
Right.
And they want to believe that there's something else out there. They want to believe that their special, that their sighting, that their close encounter was specially for them. You see?
Gotcha.
They want to believe that there's something out there that's interested in them to take them out of their dull, mundane existence, which is sometimes full of fear and no hope and nothing in the future and so on. But overall, many of these people just want to believe too much, and they do invent an imaginary contact experience.
See, but doesn't that get in? That kind of gets into the woogie area for me. Like, you know, we talked to James Gilliland from the Isetti Ranch out in Washington, Trout Lake, Washington, and he claims on a clear night you have a 90 to 95% chance of seeing UFO activity. I've been there three times. I've seen crazy things happen that I have no explanation for. I've, you know, prior to that, never really had any kind of UFO experiences. You know, I saw weird lights in the sky as a kid, but I couldn't say that they were a UFO. I don't know if it was a plane or a helicopter, and I just wasn't picking up on it. But people go out there in large groups, and one thing that James talks about, and I've heard other abductees and investigators say, is once you've opened yourself up to them, they will let themselves be known. If you're coming from a place of peace and light, and they know that you're really interested. So just because you never had an experience before, but you're really into it, if you're opening up yourself to that possibility, is there something that you feel that is more of a case that maybe the aliens or interdimensional beings understand that and are more willing to show themselves to you than just, you know, Grandpa Joe, who has no interest in the paranormal or UFOs at all?
Oh, that's definitely true. And this actually separates the different types of UFO experiences. For example, some UFOs may indeed be alien visitors, but another part of the phenomenon may be interdimensional. And Dr. Hynek felt that to be very, very true in this case. And a lot of these beings, for example, in these parallel universes, yes, they are aware of our existence here, and they are looking for contact. And if you try to induce contact, you probably will have some type of experience. But I found in my research that many of these people that do have these experiences have had experiences as a child first, when they woke up and they saw an entity by their bed smiling. Later on in life, they have UFO experiences and other paranormal experiences and contact experiences. So you see, there's a connection. And many of these people, by the way, have either dormant or active psychic ability. And it seems that these dimensional contacts seem to be attracted to people with this type of situation.
Can you help us understand this real quick with UFOs? A lot of people assume that it's an alien race from a different planet. Then other people refer to them as interdimensional beings, meaning that they're in a parallel universe to ours and they're just able to fold it. Now, some people also believe that interdimensional just means that that's the way that the aliens travel from one end of the galaxy to us, is they're able to fold time and space and come through or go through wormholes. So it's crossing through a dimensional barrier to get to us faster. Where does the truth lie for you in that statement? I mean, are there aliens from other planets? Are there visitors from other dimensions? Or are they all one and the same?
I think there's both, and probably more, because the UFO phenomena is very complex. For example, different encounters seem to be of a different nature. Dr. Hynek used to say, you know, it's kind of funny that these beings are traveling across the distance of the galaxy and traveling through wormholes and using all this power just to land here and, you know, and just play games with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and just take a few specimens and then go back on their way or just frighten people and so on. But he believed that many of the encounters that we have that we call UFOs, that we've been calling UFOs for years, have been with our very close to our reality. He called them parallel realities, in which there's one very close to us, and these beings, these entities, this intelligence has been interacting with the human race for a very long time because they're more or less our dimensional next-door neighbors.
Now, that I dig all that, and I understand that. Now, I have a question. We precursored this in our news segment at the beginning, or in our movie segment at the beginning we were talking, and I'd like your take on this, dealing with interdimensional and alternate universes. And I'll be up front. I had a strange experience a number of years ago. I went to see a horror movie with a buddy of mine, and we had imbibed in marijuana at the time, and I had one of the most surreal moments of my life that I still, just to this day, I can't wrap my head around. Just sitting in the theater being stupid guys and high as a kite. But as I'm talking to my buddy, all of a sudden things would shift, and we'd be like in a movie theater, but it was just slightly different than the movie theater I was used to, and I would come into a different part of the conversation. So let's say our planet one, we're talking about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. All of a sudden I'd shift over, and in planet two, we're talking about baseball. And I would get this kind of, what the hell's going on? And my friend who was sitting across from me was in the same place in both realities, and I would talk to him, and he'd be like, dude, what are you talking about? We're talking about baseball. And we'd start talking about baseball, so then we'd shift, and I'm back over, and he would have just as weird a look. And then the one thing that really kind of stood out was, in the one, I'll call it Earth 2, I heard the people behind me talking, and the lady was really upset because they had lost their dog, and they didn't know if they were ever going to find it, and blah, blah, blah. And when I shifted back, I looked at my friend, I said, hey, you know, when I was just over there and I was explaining to him what was happening, and, you know, he was looking at me and I could see other people around us were watching me before the movie began talk about this. I mentioned that the lady and the guy behind me were just in the other place complaining about their dog being lost and this, that, and the other. When the guy leaned forward and he goes, what did you just say? And I said, you lost your dog, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, we were here a week ago in this exact same theater, sitting in these exact same seats talking about our dog and how we lost it, and we couldn't, you know, we were hoping to find it again. So it was like almost like a shade over universe, but it was also a weird time shift. Now, I wrote it off as just being a goofball that was high, but the experience was still vivid to me through the whole thing, and I was aware that I was shifting between these two realities. Have you ever heard of anything like that with the interdimensional universe and the multi-universes, of being cognizant in both realities of the same thing going on?
I have heard about it, and I've heard of people shifting through different realities that are slightly different than our own, and then coming back to what they think is their own reality. I was up at MIT this summer. I attended a lecture on parallel universes. I was up there doing some research, and there was a presentation about just that in theoretical physics, about there are a multiple branching of realities. Every possible thing that could happen, every decision that you could make, is creating a new reality in a new parallel dimension. And that every now and then it's possible, or theoretically possible, for us to shift realities. And sometimes the change is so slight we don't notice. For example, you may walk down the street and say, you know, I thought the door was green on that house. Now it's red.
Right.
You know, little changes like that, realities are closer to you.
With that story, then, are you saying then the consciousness from that reality may have shifted over into my reality, and my reality is now their reality, and we're kind of crisscrossing each other?
Right, right. You and that reality is shifting with yourself in this reality, and you're shifting back and forth, and both are totally unaware that you're actually shifting slightly in different realities. It's a bizarre new theory. And most physicists, the hardcore physicists, say, well, it's bad science, and it belongs in something more like the metaphysical world rather than the physical world.
Right.
But theoretical physics today, the theoretical physicists today are like, you know, they're more like, you know, a metaphysical magicians or something, looking up the concepts of these parallel universes, proving it mathematically. And right now they have four levels of possible parallel universes.
Let's talk about that. We have to take one more quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with you. So let's talk about those when we come back. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio right here on Darkness Radio. Tim, I love it. You know, we get into these interviews and stuff, and I just love to dig into it, and then the time goes by so damn quick.
Either that or you're back on the weed.
That's true. I'm slipping between dimensions. Hey, stay tuned. Speaking of slipping between dimensions, our guest next is Stan Romanek, and he's got an amazing story to tell about his alien stories and abductions and UFO sightings, and he's got a book coming out from Llewellyn Press. It'll be out in May. We're going to talk to him tonight about what's going on and what went into the book, and we'll check back with him in May since he's having continued abduction scenarios to find out more about his personal story. Right now, our guest, though, is Philip Imbrogno. He is the author of a new book called Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings. Before we went to the break, Phil, you were talking about the four different levels.
Parallel universe.
Okay, levels. Yeah, how do you define those?
Well, you know, the theoretical physicist likes to do it from particles, you know, what's happening in particles and so on. And the level one parallel universe, the first theory, as nobody really knows the true nature of how these parallel universes exist, is that there's at a distance of 25 billion light years from us, there's another you and there's another me doing this radio show.
Okay.
You know, everything duplicates itself in this parallel reality, this parallel universe.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all of these parallel realities, exactly, in the physical universe, but it's a physical universe, one big physical universe. It's just that everything has been duplicated because they feel that nature does things, the cosmos does things in a rhythmic fashion, and that in another galaxy there's another you. The second level is that as the universe expanded, there were all of these dimensional loops formed. For example, matter folded in on itself, creating all of these multiple dimensions. And outside of these multiple dimensions, other universes with multiple dimensions. So right in your room right now, and you're standing in that studio, there may be some type of dimensional creature walking through the room. He can't perceive you, and you can't perceive him. But it's all part of another universe.
Really?
The level three is that there was this bubble universe at the beginning, at the Big Bang, and it formed all of these bubble universes that kind of like all stick together and interact with each other by four-dimensional portals, and that there are wormholes that connect some of these universes to ours, and they're all physical universes, and they interact with ours. And the fourth one is probably the most bizarre, is that there are other universes close to ours with other beings, other dimensions, and so on. And that every choice that you made in your life, there were all alternate choices, and it created all of these multiple realities that keep on branching out through time and space. So every decision that you made and or didn't make has been made, creating a whole new reality all the time for the entire cosmos. And that's probably one of the most bizarre. You know, this is really nothing new. Back in the mid-17th century, Giordano Bruno, who was a monk, he told people that there was life on other planets, there were other worlds out there with life on them, and that there were other dimensions, there were other areas where people lived around us, but we could not see them. Because of this, he was burned to the stake, because he was accused of being in league with the devil.
Mm.
So the idea of parallel universes is in many religions, the Hindu religion, the Buddhist religion, the Christian religion. I mean, the idea of heaven, hell, and purgatory in the Christian religion are all parallel universes.
Oh, okay.
So it's nothing new. It's now science is catching up with metaphysics. Theoretical physics, it's about time, too,
right,
is catching up with the great metaphysical thinkers that have been talking about this for the last 500, 600 years.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left. Let's delve a little bit more into your book. How is your new book, The Interdimensional Universe, different from other books about UFOs?
Well, it's the first book, really, to tie in paranormal phenomena with UFOs, saying that, you know, it's all part of the same, being caused by the same thing. Parallel universes. Parallel universes is causing all of this phenomena that we're witnessing now. Like Einstein, and I'm not really comparing myself with Albert Einstein, but Einstein, in his life, he looked for a unified theory to tie all the forces of the universe together for an all-in-one-in-everything theory, but he never found it. I've been investigating paranormal phenomena, UFOs, for 30 years. I've been looking for one unified theory to explain paranormal phenomena and UFOs, and I believe I had with the idea of the multidimensional universe. And we're only getting glimpses of these universes and the phenomena that emanates from them. And most likely there are intelligent beings there. And at times, these close universes to ours interact with ours and cross over with ours, allowing this phenomena to generate more into our world. Now, think about it this way. A long time ago, people saw fairies, elves, gremlins, angels, demons, and so on. This is what they called them.
Mm-hmm.
Dragons. It was very real to these people 600, 700 years ago. And all of a sudden, all that stuff is gone, and now it's coming back again. Perhaps at that time, many of these creatures that are lost in our mythology were actually creatures that came from a time when these parallel universes crossed over. And theoretically, it's possible, because the universe is in constant motion. It's going around and moving around. And sooner or later, these two universes twist around together, causing them to interact. And I believe that's what's going on now. This is why we're seeing an increase in paranormal phenomena and the UFO phenomena. And my book actually covers this. It talks about the early aspects of UFOs and how it evolved to what we have today, and the idea of paranormal phenomena being associated with UFOs. So it's actually one of the first books to take the paranormal world and tie it together with the UFO phenomena, showing that it's coming from the same, generating from the same parallel universe. And it's the parallel universe, once we take into account, we can actually start to explain a lot of phenomena that we've labeled so-called paranormal.
You know, we've got about a minute left. It's interesting you mentioned that. There was an episode of the TV show Ghost Hunters, and they were, I think, at Mount Washington Resort, and they were doing an EVP session. And for those of you not familiar, that's electronic voice phenomena where you're recording disembodied voices, and at one point they're asking some questions. When they play back the tape, a woman's voice is heard saying, yes, I can hear you, but I can't see you. Where are you? What's going on? And it makes you wonder if there were just a bleed through of the universe right at that moment, and just the two were coexisting without visual contact.
Exactly. And what people don't realize is that UFO investigators have been getting EVP on their tape recorders long before any ghost hunters.
Interesting.
We've been getting them on our tape recorders for the last 30 years. And nobody really knew what to do with them, so they were just filed away because
it
didn't fit into the study.
Sometimes in EVP work, when we're doing it, we'll actually get EVPs back in our own voice, which again has led me to believe that maybe we're just dealing with the fabric of space and time kind of thin right there. And in the alternate universe, I'm standing there investigating the same location and it's just bleeding through. So again, pick up the book. I mean, it's a fascinating read. The book is available everywhere right now. It's Interdimensional Universe, The New Science of UFOs, Paranormal Phenomena, and Other Dimensional Beings.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.